let's look at the big, big picture of why the United States is falling behind China and other countries around the world in terms of innovation and engineering and technology and so on. It's very simple. It's actually simpler than people think. It's because in America, what is demanded of you is obedience above all else, simply obedience. Whereas in China, what is demanded of you is excellence or intelligence and obedience. Okay, so of course, in China, you still are not allowed to just openly, wildly criticize the government. They will not look kindly upon that kind of behavior. In America, the same thing is true, and you're actually rewarded for being stupid. Whereas in China, you're rewarded for being smart, but obedience is a requirement as well. So you see, in both countries, you have to be obedient or you get censored, you get blacklisted, you get punished. I mean, we have a credit score system, basically, or, you know, social credit scoring system in the U.S. You can get debanked. You will have, you know, government regulators come inspect your facilities if you don't toe the line. You will not be invited to speak, you know, on and on and on. You'll be banned from YouTube, whatever, if you don't say all of the approved narratives that the government wants you to say. And in America, it's almost as if stupidity is celebrated. The dumber you are, as long as you're obedient, the more you are celebrated. Look at who is held up as some of the top influencers, right? You almost have to be stupid and obedient in order to be allowed to become popular in the United States. And that's why smart people in independent media, those who can conduct research, are just routinely attacked and smeared and deplatformed. And look at the attacks on Alex Jones over the years, because Alex was putting the pieces of the puzzle together. He was connecting the dots, and he has a really sharp memory, by the way. So he can remember all the things that were said back at Oklahoma City bombing and, you know, 9/11, you name it. And so they wanted to shut him down, even though he was totally right about atrazine turning the frogs gay and about a number of other subjects. In China, you have to be capable in order to get ahead. In China, their lawmakers tend to be engineers who advance because they accomplish something. In America, our lawmakers tend to be attorneys who advance because they rip people off. You know, in many cases, not every case, but in many cases, it's attorneys that become senators or attorneys that become governors instead of people who actually, you know, built something or engineered something. Now, think about the obedience training in America. For example, in medical school, nothing but obedience training. Medical school doesn't teach health, doesn't teach nutrition, doesn't teach disease prevention in any way whatsoever. Medical school teaches and demands obedience. Obedience often to utterly false narratives, like the narratives surrounding, you know, virology and viral pandemics, which is complete fiction, by the way. Oh, you can catch the flu. Really? How do I catch the flu? Oh, it's a virus. Really? But my grandma said I could catch the flu by going outside when my hair was wet. Oh, well, it's also if your hair is wet. Oh, I thought you said it was a virus. Well, it's a virus that attacks you when your hair is wet. You know, just endless stupidity, right? That's the way the West operates. Medical school is obedience training above all else. By the time you graduate from medical school, you are a pill-pushing pharma whore. That's all you are. You're a biological skin bag vending machine for big pharma. And a similar thing is true with just, you know, any kind of academia, for the most part. There are exceptions, but for the most part, the only way to graduate with a PhD is to write a thesis that is entirely aligned with the status quo, something that the establishment approves of. As long as they approve of it, oh, you get your PhD. You don't even have to do much work these days. It's just ChatGPT PhD, and you get a PhD. So PhDs from about 2025 on are basically largely meaningless. All it means is somebody knows how to prompt ChatGPT. That's why there are PhDs still walking around who don't even know what's in a hot dog, you know? They don't even understand the basics of life or biology, but, you know, they have a doctorate in something. Now, again, there are exceptions to that, and people who have PhDs from a decade ago or earlier, they earned those, you know. But today, it's a lot of it's just ChatGPT. And even ChatGPT and all of the frontier AI models are designed for obedience training. That's why government wants to review all of them. That's why Israel and the Zionists are spending all kinds of money to influence AI models so that there's obedience that gets churned out of the models, not the freedom to think. And this is why even in grade school, when the students go through grade school, are they trained to know how to think? No. They're trained for obedience. Sit down, shut up, repeat these words, memorize these concepts, and consider them to be truth, even though they're not. That's what public education has become in America. Now, if you have a system like that, which we do now in America, you are not going to produce very many independent thinkers. Think about it. How many of you listening, how many people like you come out of the public education system? Not very many. There's not very many like me. I came out of public education. I'm like one in a million to come out of the public education system, just in terms of independent thought. You probably are too. There's not very many of us, because the system indoctrinates you for conformity and compliance. And if you don't comply, you get punished, don't you? If you don't comply, you get punished, you get censored, and it just continues on through adulthood. That's why America is falling behind, because we have lost the infrastructure that promotes independent thinking, or even rationality or reason. You know, the days of Thomas Edison in America, the days of independent inventors overcoming the system and being able to roll out something new and amazing, those days are over. There's almost nothing like that happens anymore. Everything is just simply part of the system. It's allowed to happen. It has to be narrow. It has to have guardrails on it. You're not allowed even, I mean, look, how long has it taken for low energy nuclear reactions to even be accepted as a possible technology for excess heat production? You know, it used to be called cold fusion. Now it's called LENER. That was mocked for decades since 1989. Why? Conformity. Because we were all told, oh, there's no such thing as cold fusion. There can't be. It's too simple. It's too low cost. It's too decentralized. It can't work. Why? Well, because all the experts who already don't believe in it told us it can't work. Oh, so basically it's a consensus game among a bunch of obedient conformists. You saw this during COVID. What were you told by all of the obedient, conforming doctors and pharmacists and nurses? Vaccines work. Except for the fact that a lot of them died after they took the jabs, and some of them just died right on TV. Kerplunk, you know, face plant on the stage, and never heard from her again, did we? She was bragging about how awesome the vaccine was, and now she's dead. Yeah, conformity will kill you. But we saw that in spades during COVID. It was like, if you don't conform, you're a bad person. You're responsible for infecting grandma. And that's when they rolled out like plexiglass sheeting and, you know, tents for the students in band class, had to blow a trumpet inside a little mini pop-up tent, and just other absurdly ridiculous things that were so absurd. It was almost like, this is a test to see how dumb people are. And almost everybody failed the test, it turns out. Why? Because they're trained on obedience, not intelligence. And if you have a society trained on obedience, not intelligence, your society doesn't succeed. Period. End of story. And so what's the upshot on this? Take a look at yourself. If you are not being disobedient, there's something wrong with you. Seriously. If you're not being disobedient, I don't mean breaking laws. I'm not advocating that. But I'm saying if you don't find yourself disagreeing with all of these mainstream narratives and rejecting those narratives, then you've been brainwashed into obedience compliance, and there's something wrong with you, and you're not going to do very well. So disobedience is a very important survival trait. And nonconformity, obviously. And think about, what is it that nonconformists do? They do things like they buy gold and silver. And as a result, they are holding value, although I know the prices have gone down recently, but that's temporary. They tend to hold value over time, even as currencies collapse. Disobedient people, they think for themselves. They run local AI so that it's uncensored. Disobedient people get information from independent media sources because they don't trust mainstream media, obviously, because that would be crazy. Disobedient people don't take a bunch of pharmaceuticals, do they? Disobedient people seek out sunlight exposure because they know it's actually good for them. Disobedient people are not afraid of the sun. Obedient people, the sun will kill you. I'm gonna hide in the shadows. It's like, what a pathetic life, you know? Imagine if you spend your whole life running from the sun, which is what they want you to do in, you know, medical school and doctors and dermatologists who hardly know anything about the skin, it turns out. It's just wild. It's like, isn't that your entire field of study? You don't know that eating seed oils puts the wrong lipids in skin cells? You don't even know that? How do you not know that? Well, go take a lunch break and suck down some more canola, rapeseed oil. Doctor dermatology, you know, it's like, maybe you should get an education. But whatever. So, anyway, you get the idea. The point is, if you are disobedient against this corrupt, broken, totally fraudulent system, then you're going to do well. Then you're going to do well. I was at the dentist the other day. This is just an example. I was at the dentist. And I hadn't been there for a few years because I don't eat processed foods and I don't typically have cavities and things. But I decided to go in for a checkup and went in. Everything's fine. No more cavities. But before they even do any work on you, you know, they take your blood pressure. At least this dentist does. And I think that's a common practice. So they take your blood pressure. And I'm not opposed to that, by the way. They just use a little blood pressure cuff. But this dental assistant, who was very polite and professional, I'm not complaining, I'm just saying, she was asking me, because I filled out the sheet, and it said, no prescription medications, none. And she was asking me, you really take no prescription medications? Because I see your age here, you know. You were born in the 1960s. I mean, almost everybody your age is taking prescription medications. I'm like, no, I don't take any prescription medications. And the reason my teeth are orange is because I drink a lot of turmeric, and that's one reason why I don't take prescription medications, because turmeric is my medicine, one among 100 different natural medicines that I take. And she specifically said, you don't even take blood pressure medications? Like, nope. So she said, well, I'm going to take your blood pressure. I'm like, okay, go for it. Have fun. And so she puts on the cuff, and it does the automatic, you know, blood pressure thing. And now, I don't know if these cuffs are really that accurate. I think they're not as accurate as the older manual way of doing it, you know, with the stethoscope and everything. But whatever. These automatic cuffs, probably plus or minus like 30%. Who knows? Anyway, the cuff comes back, and it says my blood pressure is 105 over 67. And with I think it said like a resting pulse of 60 or 61 or something like that. And she takes the cuff off and looks at the numbers and looks at me. He's like, well, you're right. I guess you don't need blood pressure medication. Yeah. Yes. Yes. And my teeth are orange, like I just said. And when you look at my mouth and you see my dental work is stained orange in the back, now you know why I don't need blood pressure medication. It's like, huh. And I wasn't talking arrogantly to her, by the way. She was really nice and we had a great conversation. But the thing is, even in dental school, right, even in dental school, you know, the subject matter is not herbal medicine and how can patients prevent disease and what does it take to be a person who doesn't take blood pressure medication, etc. And by the way, one of the things that I've benefited from tremendously over the last almost year and a half now, as you know, is all the physical exercise I've been doing. Since I started taking the BPC-157, which is a peptide that I take intranasally that helps your body heal old scar tissue. And I've told this story. I'm not going to go into detail, but that healed my old injuries, martial arts injuries, and allowed me to begin jogging again, finally, which I couldn't do for several years. So anyway, I've been doing quite a lot of working out with also kettlebell strength training and, you know, push-ups and pull-ups and whatever, just simple things, but out in nature. So anyway, as a result, my blood pressure is very, very low, like borderline, you know, athlete range, let's say, even though I'm not an athlete, obviously. But if you combine some decent exercise with some decent amount of great nutrition, superfoods, natural herbs. I mean, of course, I take like 30 different herbs or supplements or superfoods every single day. It's in my smoothie, you know, everything from broccoli sprouts to resveratrol and so on. And, you know, we have a product in our store called Cardio Clear that is just amazing. That's healthrangerstore.com, by the way. I've been taking Cardio Clear here and there just a couple of times a week for a few months. That's got hawthorn berry in it. And it's, you know, talk about cardiovascular support. Man, it's amazing. So I wasn't surprised that my blood pressure is 105 over 67. That might even be a little low, you know, compared to where it is normally. But dental assistants are surprised. And I think most dentists are surprised. You know, and I think doctors are surprised. And especially doctors. Oh, I should say, you know who's not surprised? Chiropractors. Chiropractors have more training in natural health and natural medicine and usually more critical independent thinking than, you know, than almost any other profession in the healing arts. I mean, obviously herbalists know, traditional Chinese medicine practitioners are usually very well informed, but chiropractors are some of the best nutrition people out there, by the way. So visit your chiropractor. I should visit mine. I'm always late to visit my chiropractor because I don't hurt anymore. So it's like, you know, used to be like an ache or a pain and it, oh, I should go visit the chiropractor. Now I just don't even hurt ever. So I don't have this reminder to go visit the chiropractor. I know if he's listening to this, he's going to give me a hard time next time I go in. But my point is chiropractors, they know more about nutrition than doctors, you know, conventional doctors, GPs, etc. It's true. And it's because chiropractors are better at critical thinking and independent thinking than conventional doctors. Because chiropractic school doesn't demand the same kind of obedience as a traditional medical school. See? So there you go. So apply this everywhere in your life and you will do better. When the herd is telling you, oh, you should buy, you know, the latest IPO. You should run from that. Okay. Run from that. When the herd says, you know, oh, don't buy gold. That's an ancient relic. You should probably get some more gold. When the herd is telling you, oh, vaccines work and they're safe and effective and you should be afraid of Ebola. You should take Ebola vaccines and you should run from Ebola vaccines. Don't take the flu shot. Don't take it. Ever. Don't take any vaccines. In my opinion. I mean, obviously make up your own mind. Do what you want to do. Have your own experts in medicine or finance or whatever. But from my point of view, if you find yourself doing the same thing that all the dumbass NPCs are doing, you just start to question that. Wait a second. If you're in line for a vaccine jab and you see your dumbass neighbor there like, oh, that guy's stupid as rocks. Maybe I should rethink what I'm doing in the same line here. You know what I mean? Seriously. Don't go along with stupid people. With the NPCs, or you'll have bad outcomes because that's what's all put in place by design. All right. Anyway, bottom line, a couple of things. Obviously, my online store is a great place to get good nutrition and superfoods because we buck the system. We do all our own in-house lab testing. We have ultra clean, amazing formulations, including personal care products that don't contain toxic synthetic chemicals, and we avoid GMOs, and we avoid all kinds of garbage and fillers. And just, we have the cleanest, most pristine ingredients of any company, of any nutrition or personal care product provider in the world, as far as I can tell. And I know we do more testing than everybody else, and our formulas are just outstanding. So check it out, healthrangerstore.com, and you'll see everything we have on sale. It's quite a lot, including the Berkey water filters that are finally back in stock after 2 years of all kinds of supply chain trouble with the fluoride filters and everything. Anyway, that's back. And yeah, my philosophy of disobedience against the establishment is infused in every product. That's why we don't use their garbage ingredients. We don't put seed oils. We don't use MSG. We don't use toxic synthetic fragrances. We don't use, you know, GMO corn starch and garbage like that, okay? So if what I've said in this podcast makes a lot of sense to you, you're going to love our products. You're going to love the ingredients. And if I didn't love a product, I wouldn't sell it, because I'm buying and consuming all my own products all the time because it's the cleanest source that I can find in the world. So anyway, thank you for your support. Secondly, you can follow my work at brightvideos.com, or you can read my articles at naturalnews.com. And every one of my articles you will find infused with the same philosophy here, which is be smart, be a critical thinker, think for yourself, get away from centralized control grids. You will do very well. You'll do well with your health, your wealth, your philosophy, your spiritual development, your happiness, your longevity, everything. You will do much better in your life whenever you read my articles at Natural News or you hear my podcast here, that is the ones that are of interest to you. I know it's a lot of content. You can't keep up with all of it, but pick and choose the ones that make sense to you and the interviews you want to hear. You will definitely gain some knowledge or benefit from each one of them. Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing this. So thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.
We have to be very honest about what we don't know about our country, because it was all by design. And for me, I feel like we are being hit from all sides. World War II is still in place above our nation, and it's a supranational architecture. And unfortunately, it came into play before World War II ever ended. And it's my belief, and I put all the real documents in the book, that World War III and a lot of what we're living through now was planned before the end of World War II, and we, the people of the United States, I believe, have paid for it all since World War II. So it's really important people understand these 18 months near the end of World War II ended the sovereignty of the United States of America, and we are still stuck in that today.
Welcome to today's interview here on brightvideos.com. You're going to love this interview because we've got a very special guest who I haven't talked to for a while. It's been too long, but she's been working hard on a book about, well, some history of America that actually explains almost everything that's happening today. And it's Mel Kay, and her book is called Infiltration Instead of Invasion. It's a brand new book. It's just been released. It's already achieved number one status in three categories on Amazon. And of course, she has her own show called themelkayshow.com if you want to check that out. And she joins us today to talk about history and this new book. So welcome, Mel Kay. It's great to have you on the show today.
Well, always great to see you. Thank you so much for having me. Crazy times. We need some clarity. So I hope the book helps.
Yeah, I think it will. And the book has just been launched, so I haven't had a chance to read it. But from perusing what's in the table of contents, I think you've nailed something really critical, that our nation has been captured for decades, if not generations. We're not living under the original vision of the founding fathers, are we?
Not even close, not even close. And here's the problem, that we have to be very honest about what we don't know about our country, because it was all by design. And for me, I feel like we are being hit from all sides in a situation where the same architecture that I outline in my book that was created in the last 10 years surrounding World War II is still in place above our nation. And it's a supranational architecture. And unfortunately, unfortunately, it came into play before World War II ever ended. And it's my belief, and I put all the real documents in the book, that World War III and a lot of what we're living through now was planned before the end of World War II. And unfortunately, a lot of roads lead back to three Americans, two Wall Street lawyer brothers from Sullivan and Cromwell, known as the Dulles brothers, and another Wall Street lawyer, McKittrick, who ran the Bank of International Settlements during World War II. And the three of them, I believe, along with architects from the now EU, but from Europe, Germany, of course, but also the City of London and multiple different banking institutions around the world, I believe, created a supranational architecture and then created a supranational intelligence agency architecture, which has worked for it ever since. And we, the people of the United States, I believe, have paid for it all since World War II. So it's really important people understand these 18 months near the end of World War II ended the sovereignty of the United States of America, and we are still stuck in that today.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So let me expand that also. Everything you said really resonates with our audience, no question about it. But I would say also that the end of World War II ended the sovereignty of Japan, obviously, and we have occupied Japan ever since, even to this day. We dictate to Japan that you have to buy U.S. treasuries, you have to float the dollar, no matter what happens to your economy. And there are other examples like that. Taiwan, for example. Can you speak also to how this has impacted the rest of the world?
Yes, absolutely. So what we need to know, first and foremost, is that Switzerland was not neutral. If people still don't understand that Switzerland was not neutral. In fact, if you go back to World War I and really what set World War I off, kind of seems to me to have been a false flag to kick that off. But you remember, and I'm sure your audience does, Smedley Butler came out after World War I and kind of warned the world that all wars are bankers' wars. I think his book was called War is a Racket. And I believe that the model of endless war for profit became essentially the operating manual for the supranational architecture that I call the international banking cartel and their global public-private partners. And you can trace it all the way back to the creation of the BIS, because after World War I, there was a Dawes plan and a Young plan. Out of it came the Bank of International Settlements. It was set up for reparations, for Germany to repay from what they had done. But what really happened at the Bank of International Settlements is they refunded Hitler's army. And sadly enough, that was Wall Street refunding Hitler's army. And in many ways, the Dulles brothers, particularly John Foster Dulles, he worked at Sullivan and Cromwell. Well, Sullivan and Cromwell represented the international banks, particularly the relationships also of multinational corporations between Nazi Germany and the United States. His clients with Standard Oil of New Jersey and in Germany, IG Farben, had all kinds of, different patents that they shared and agreements. They essentially refunded and helped rebuild Germany's military in the wake of World War I to allow for World War II. And we need to know that. And this Bank of International Settlements was at that table where the Nazi bankers and the American bankers and the City of London and the London bankers and the rest of the German bankers sitting around a table during the entire war, where a continent was pillaged, people were murdered, 60 million people affected by the hell that was the fighting and of World War II and the concentration camps and everything we know about it. Well, in Switzerland, they were acting as business as usual. I mean, they were taking in money from the Nazis that they took from Czechoslovakia and everywhere else into the Bank of International Settlements. And then they were doing business as usual, essentially, while Alan Dulles was running the OSS out of Switzerland and working most of the time hand in hand with the Nazi bankers and the Nazi intelligence people that were also in Switzerland, and the City of London, Montague Norman, and the entire Bank of England was also there creating the post-World War II international financial architecture that really fed off of the same families that started and infiltrated our country under Wilson with the Federal Reserve. It was just the next level.
Wasn't the Bush family also involved? Yeah. in the banking support for the Third Reich.
Yeah. Yeah, George Prescott, I mean, Prescott Bush, George H.W. Bush's father, was actually brought up on charges for dealing with the enemy. His two partners were Nazi bankers, which is where this whole story kind of gets a little crazier, is what happened. First of all, you know, and your audience knows about Bretton Woods, where they created the black holes known as the IMF and the World Bank. But also at Bretton Woods, which, of course, was only a few weeks after D-Day, but well before the surrender of Hitler. So they're in New Hampshire, in America, coming up with the financial world architecture post-World War II that is above all nations. So they're doing that. And then at the same time, they all vote to end the Bank of International Settlements at Bretton Woods, but they never did end it. And after that, the two lawyers and other people, they got together and they gave all the banks, including the Bank of International Settlements, the World Bank, which is the Reconstruction Bank we're still dealing with today with the Iran stuff. They also gave the IMF and 63 other banks connected to the central banking system full and total immunity. It's the International Organization Immunity Act of 1945, says that none of those banks from the BIS on down can be audited, investigated, have legal action against them. You're not even allowed on their premises without their permission. And that is still in place today. And the scariest part, this is why I say we have had no sovereignty, particularly since the Dulles brothers took over the country in 53. The IMF and the World Bank are in Washington, D.C., but the United States of America has zero jurisdiction on them, even on our soil. And there's about 100 international organizations, including the United Nations, is also protected under this 1945 Act. And 75 tentacles of the United Nations, including the World Health Organization, UNESCO, and on down. So we got 76 United Nations tied organizations and 63 international banking organizations that to this day are still completely immune and protected by the International Organization Immunity Act of 1945. If people are wondering why they get away with everything and why no one's ever been able to look.
Some of this topic reminds me of a book by the late Jim Mars, who was a friend of mine,
yes,
and he wrote
yes.
The Fourth Reich.
Right, exactly. That is.
Yeah. Yeah. And that leads me to the Operation Paperclip question. So I think our audience, of course, is familiar with that concept that, you know, the Nazi scientists and researchers were given new identities, passports,
yes,
brought to the United States. But what I think a lot of people don't know, perhaps even some of our audience, is just how deeply that infiltrated the corporate infrastructure of America. Because it wasn't just yes. NASA, was it?
No.
Talk to us about where that went.
Yeah, this is the lie. The great Annie Jacobson wrote a great book about Operation Paperclip. But what I've learned in my research is that is somewhat of a distraction. Because the real dangerous, first of all, thousands of Nazis at the highest level. And when we say Nazis, because they've made such a purposefully caricature of the whole term Nazi, Nazi is the National Socialist Workers' Party of Germany, A, and B, they are a totalitarian ideology that also believes in eugenics.
Yes.
And the idea that there is a superior class of people that should be ruling over the masses. Well, what happened with Operation Paperclip, you know, most people don't know this either, because the CIA, frankly, all roads lead to Langley still to this day, in my opinion. But Alan Dulles befriended Galen, who was the head of Hitler's intelligence during World War II. He befriended him when Churchill and the rest of the war for profit people decided that they were going to turn the entire military operation against Russia. Now that they had won being on the side of Russia, now they turn the whole thing on Russia and the communists. Well, Alan Dulles and another man named McCloy and the rest of, there's a group, Harriman, there's about 10 people that were really involved in this post-World War II betrayal. And they decided to pull in Galen, who was the Nazi intelligence guy, and all of the people surrounding Galen and put them during the, McCloy was the guy that was put into Germany for the reconstruction again after World War II. And they put this Nazi intelligence guy into West Germany under the CIA. and then swallowed a lot of the Nazi intelligence apparatus into the CIA purposefully and then brought many of them here. But beyond that, they went in, you know, IG Farben, a lot of people just learned during COVID that the pharmaceutical industrial complex and the military industrial complex have always been one and the same. They've never been separate. And it was IG Farben and Rockefeller Standard Oil of New Jersey that really allowed for Hitler to rebuild, is the truth. And, and a lot of this has to do with the international multinational corporation agreements that were written by Sullivan and Cromwell back in the day. So when you look at all of this, go ahead.
Well, let me just bring in one other thing that's really important here is that the original Nazi research on chemical weapons, which included eventually led to things like sarin gas and VX nerve gas, that was research. I've studied this extensively because of my food science background, but that research was on organophosphate chemicals. That then created a body of research that led to glyphosate, which is an organophosphonate chemical. It's through a different mechanism, but it's basically nerve gas for plants, okay?
Right.
And then now our President Trump is fully behind glyphosate, and while the EPA, which was also infiltrated by some of these same Nazis, dare I say, and the FDA infiltrated by Nazis, the freaking, the science foundations, the NIH, they've all been infiltrated by Nazis, and that's not hyperbole. That's historic fact, isn't it?
Yes. Well, but here's why. Here's the crazy part. So most people might not know IG Farben was broken up after the war as a, you know, just kind of a distraction, I think, into Bayer and HBSF and all that. But IG Farben was, most people don't know, at Auschwitz, IG Farben had a plant where they worked 100,000 men to death, creating synthetic rubber on the premises and Zyklon B on the premises. So 10 people, including the president of IG Farben, were sentenced at Nuremberg to prison. And John McCloy and Alan Dulles went in and got them out. And now another thing that connects to that is in 1944, there was a meeting. It was declassified by the CIA, I think in the 60s. But there was a meeting in 1944 before Hitler surrendered. I think it was also before Bretton Woods. But they met in France. And who met there? So the international lawyers and bankers, as well as all of Hitler's inner circle, including Himmler and them, but also all of the multinational corporation CEOs that had one foot in Germany and one foot in America. And they were trying to figure out how to get as much money out of Nazi Germany into the United States through subsidiary and shell companies. And the people that were there were Daimler-Benz, Krupp, IG Farben, Thyssen, Siemens, a lot of companies that we know. And at the same time, we know that Ford, IBM, GE, they were all doing lots of business in Germany during World War II as well. So it's called EW-PA-128, if people want to find the document. It's a real document in the CIA files. And essentially what they were doing was laundering millions and millions, if not billions of dollars that were made off of the backs of 60 million people that were killed and looted and laundered and everything during World War II to make sure. And this is where the Fourth Reich comes in with Jim Mars, to make sure that even if Germany fell, the Reich would not and would be able to rise again someday. And I firmly believe that by the time Hitler surrendered, they were already planning for World War III on that soil with these same people, with the same money. And I don't think it ever stopped. And you might not know this, but when Milei won in Argentina, Chuck Grassley reached out to him and reopened the Ratline investigation. The rat lines are the money that left Nazi Germany. And it appears that it went from Nazi Germany into the Vatican Bank, then transferred because Perón was on the side of the Nazis to Argentina. In Argentina, then it was laundered into America and into certain islands around America. But a lot of these multinational corporation front groups and subsidiaries were really for laundering that money out of Germany before Hitler surrendered, and they would no longer allow it.
Wow.
That makes perfect sense. Let me remind our audience, the book is called Infiltration Instead of Invasion. And if you go to themelkshow.com, you can scroll around there. Here's about Mel and here's about the book. And you can click on the links and you can buy it, Shopify, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc. And I think you're going to find this really, really fascinating. Also, Mel, I normally don't say this publicly, but I will invite you, if you want to send me a PDF of the book,
of course.
I will index it into our AI engine so that the book gets cited.
Awesome. Yes,
it'll be cited
that.
Alongside Jim Mars and Dr. Chris Martinson and everything else that we
Perfect.
Have.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to do that, and I can send you back some results of that. But anyway, that's just an offer because you've done some great work here. Let me ask you a question that may be even more controversial than all the things you've said so far. Which, and by the way, let me just preface that by saying, you know, this conversation, even 5 years ago, would have sounded really fringe, but not so much anymore, right? It's kind of, people are kind of coming up to speed on a lot of this, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, the hardest part for me is what happened when the Dulles brothers came back from Nazi Germany and Switzerland and all of that. They walked right into the two highest positions in the United States of America that are unelected. The head of the Department of State, John Foster Dulles, and the head of the CIA, Alan Dulles. And I believe, honestly, Mike, from that point on, the State Department, the CIA, USAID, which came later, but also out of that period, and the National Endowment for Democracy ceased to work for the United States of America. I firmly believe that the Dulles brothers turned the State Department into a tentacle of the international banking cartel.
No question.
And global public-private partnership. And it has, and it still is there until the first blow, finally, was the USAID DOGE open. You know, that was the first blow to it. And I think a lot of things that have happened that you can like or hate everything Trump's doing, but I think a lot of what is going on, particularly when it comes to where it's happening, has to do with the Dulles brothers regime change operations that they kicked off in 1953 with a regime change in Iran called Operation Ajax. And this is a playbook that has played out till this day, and I believe was played and turned on America in 2016. But the first regime change operation of the CIA, which I don't believe ever worked for America, I believe the CIA, MI6, and Five Eyes in total operation, and probably Mossad, is a global intelligence operation that protects the international bank and the global public-private partnership endless war for profit machine, and has never worked for we the people of the United States or of any country.
Right.
So when you look at it that way, then you see the next layer there, which is that what was happening is that they decided, they put together the whole thing, you know, going on the ground, the USAID, National Endowment for Democracy, creating chaos on the ground, uprisings, riots, whatever in Iran. And then they pushed the regime change. But then you have to take a look at something very important. Sullivan and Cromwell, John Foster Dulles's law firm, represented BP Oil. And that regime change, Operation Ajax, was about BP Oil. It was not about anything going on in Iran that they were telling the public to get support. Uh-huh. And then right after that was the second regime change in Guatemala. Well, Guatemala, of course, Sullivan and Cromwell's client was United Fruit. In fact, Alan Dulles was on the board of United Fruit. And Guatemala, Iran wanted to nationalize the oil. No, BP wouldn't let it. Regime change. Guatemala, they wanted to change their farming rules, and United Fruit did not want that. Regime change.
Right.
And there's been about 90 of them to this day, culminating, I believe, in the regime change operation playbook being played on the United States when Donald Trump won in 2016. And we are still in that color revolution to this day.
Yeah, very, very clearly that's the case, Mel. But let me ask you the controversial question I was going to pose. I think what you're describing is what we would often call the sort of Western globalism, or at least that's one way to describe it, right? So Western European leaders and the United States, et cetera. And clearly the model has been to pillage the resources of every country in the world, threaten or assassinate their leaders, color revolutions, cause indebtedness you know, through the IMF, sanctions enforced by the BIS, obviously, you know, and look at what just happened. Trump just gave Iran permission to sell oil for 60 days. A regime that he himself has called a bunch of terrorists. So now he's saying, well, the terrorists can sell oil when we like that, you know, when we want to keep oil prices low. But here's my question to you. There are clearly three, you know, historical civilizations, Iran/Persia, Russia, and China, that have not been conquered by these Western interests. Now, they right. with Yeltsin for a while, they kind of had Russia. But that ended with Putin, right? And Putin has taken it back. The sanctions haven't worked. Russia hasn't been pillaged and defeated. This war with Iran, I would characterize it as a U.S. failure. The U.S. doesn't control the strait. And China, forget it. You know, you're never going to conquer China at this point. So what's your interpretation of this? Is there kind of like an East versus West war or competition heating up globally? Or how do you make sense of the global interaction here?
Well, for me, I think that the architecture that was built above that includes the international banking cartel and the global public-private partners, all of whom I consider the people that are protected by that International Organization Immunities Act of 45 still to this day, are globalists in the terms that they don't want nation states. They never did. The Rockefellers were really behind this from the beginning, as well as were all of the bankers that were involved in the Federal Reserve. They don't want nation states. They want global governance. And like I said, the First World War, they tried to push it in the League of Nations, but that was explicitly a global governance model. And it was rejected by America at the time. We had a very different media at the time. The United Nations also, and John Foster Dulles was one of the people that wrote the entire United Nations, treaty. Frankly, that was a model for the global governance model, as George H.W. Bush, whose father, you said correctly, was in bed with the Nazis openly and even sanctioned for doing business with the enemy during World War II. Somehow his son becomes the head of the CIA
right.
and then the vice president.
What are the odds?
Exactly. But you got to look at that and realize that What I believe is happening, and I think that Trump is on the side, frankly, of the sovereigns. So right now, the battle, I believe, above all nations is a battle between those that want to keep the sovereignty of their nation, their borders, language, culture, be independent, not depend on a international infrastructure, versus those who don't believe in nation states and would rather run the world through a totalitarian, technocratic system of global governance that I call Agenda 2030. And that is where we are. Now, countries, India as well, they will never give up their sovereignty as a nation. And again, at the same time, the EU is completely captured. So what we're dealing with, and the Fourth Reich is what I call it as well. These people that run the international banks and the global public-private partnership, largely based in the EU and in Europe, they are still of the mind that that the United States is not independent of them. And they've never really accepted that. And I think the real pull was the Federal Reserve. But this whole Atlanticist idea, especially, you know, it goes on at Bilderberg, at the COP conferences, at, Davos, whatever, they have these meetings. And also people should know, like, DSA, Progressive International, they also don't believe in nation states. They believe in global governance, global control. And frankly, that's where I think the main battle lies right now, is the nation states that are sovereign and will remain sovereign versus those that no longer believe in borders and sovereignty. The Open Society, as one of the heroes of the NATO World Order calls it, George Soros.
Right.
So, there are two different ways of governing.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So let me then ask you the depopulation question here, because for all this time of history that you cover in your book and that we've been talking about, the global infrastructure of human civilization has been built on the backs of human cognition and human labor. Yeah. So, you know, there's human minds and innovators and workers and, you know, welders and everything that built this world, you know, obviously then inventing steam engines and then combustion engines and all this other tech to help us. But because of the emergence of AI now, we are seeing for the first time in human history where some of the human jobs can be taken over by automation. For desk jobs, let's take an easy one like customer service, answering customer service emails, easily automated with AI, pretty good accuracy. Autonomous vehicles replacing drivers. I mean, we're even interviewing a company that is an autonomous truck, transportation company. Just robots cruising down the highways, right? That's coming, and that's going to replace millions of jobs around the world. So in your interpretation, based on all the research you've done for this book, what will these global elitists do about this when they realize, I'm sure they've already realized, they don't need the human cognition and human labor forever that they have relied on to get to where they are right now? What's is depopulation part of their plan, or is that not obvious yet?
Well, I think they realized this long ago. Like I said, I think they realized all of this before World War II even ended. Certainly by the 90s, when George Soros wrote the NATO World Order document in 1993, and then right after, one of his proteges, as far as I can see, Bill Clinton, bombed Yugoslavia, which never should have happened, to expand NATO in the endless war for profit model. What I think is going on here is also about the idea that goes back to Rockefeller's Limits of Growth and Club of Rome. And what I found, honestly, is that eugenics and destroying human life and the depopulation agenda did not come from Nazi Germany. It came from America, particularly from the Rockefeller Foundation, Carnegie Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, who have been investigated time and time again since the 30s as subverting the voice and the will of the people. And yet the NGO industrial complex has grown to be a $14 trillion waste on the United States. But eugenics came from here. And the scary part is, first of all, I think most people know that Bill Gates' father funded Planned Parenthood with Margaret Sanger. He was one of the funders. And Dr. Fauci in the 80s and a whole bunch of people had a big awards thing where they were giving out awards, basically congratulating the eugenics of projects of these people. But later on, in 2009, I would say, yeah, it was like 2008, 2009, the Rockefeller Institute in New York, of which many people know of, oddly enough, Jeffrey Epstein was on the board there, and he's a big transhuman eugenicist in all of his work, too.
Yeah, that's true.
But they had an event, and it wasn't covered much, but it was a little. They called it the Good Club, and it was somebody who was very, very supportive of eugenics, who recently died, Ted Turner. He didn't believe that there should be more than half a billion people on the planet at all, like 500 million total. But it was Ted Turner, Bloomberg, Bill Gates, Buffett, also Soros was there. I wouldn't be surprised if Fauci was there. Oprah was there for some reason, and it was called the Good Club. And that meeting, 2008-2009, was all about eugenics or depopulation, whichever you want to call it, particularly in Africa and other places, and B, the future of pandemics. And about 10 months later, a document came out of the Rockefeller Institute that some of us that went through COVID called the Lockstep document, that basically laid out using eugenics and pandemics or depopulation to prepare for Agenda 2030.
So there's a really important arc here that you just sort of introduced, which is that if you go back to the Third Reich, by force, using eugenics policies through violence, the threat of violence, yeah, and chemical weapons to mass murder people. Today, it's by consent. Today, yeah, it's using fear and psyops to convince people of something so they line up to be injected with something that is a biological weapon created by the DOD, right, with gain of function laundered through China. Yep. Et cetera. So it's the same genocidal agenda. It's just repackaged based on what the people of that time will tolerate, it seems.
Yeah, well, because the same people that came up with it in the Third Reich came here and started planting the seeds of the Fourth Reich before the Second World War even ended. And then this, Mike, jumps into MKUltra, because a lot of people don't understand that MKUltra wasn't, first of all, Alan Dulles was obsessed with creating Manchurian candidates and creating assassins that he could turn on and off. So that was the original. But those studies started in the concentration camps probably before. But I think we have to understand a couple things that happened during that period is that the entire LSD experiments, that wasn't about just, you know, dosing kids in, you know, Haight-Ashbury. What it was a long-term plan to try to get all children born in America, but probably the world, but we were the laboratory on psychiatric, I think, mind control medication as young as possible, and how to do it without being quite obvious, because a friend of mine, Dr. Juliet Engel, she's one of the survivors that gave testimony about being an MKUltra victim. She was dosed as a teenager in a project in Northern California. And I didn't know till she came on my show that it was Eli Lilly that supplied the CIA with the LSD. Well, 20 years later, Eli Lilly is supplying our children with Prozac.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you do have to realize, you brought up earlier, Operation Paperclip was the tip of the iceberg, but this totalitarian eugenics, superior race thing, these people not only got their whole backgrounds whitewashed, and I'm talking about behavioral science, sociology. These weren't real, before World War II, these weren't things that people got degrees in. A lot of this, a lot of sociology, behavior, all of this science came out of Nazi Germany. It came out of MKUltra, out of these experiments, and then went into our universities, because MKUltra was really done, people have to understand, not just at the Rockefeller Foundation, but at Harvard, Yale, MIT, Stanford, Columbia Behavioral Science Program. You know, all of these were people that came over. Like I was saying before, Chuck Grassley, when Millay won, asked Millay to open the Nazi files that they have. And apparently Millay got and turned over 100,000 documents to the ongoing investigation that Grassley is running, or a part of still to this day, in Switzerland. And if you look into that investigation that's ongoing right now, they say that when the report comes out in late 2026, everything we know about World War II will be different. And I think it has a lot to do with this, and a lot to do with the participation of the Dulles brothers and Harriman and McCloy and all of them, and the absorbing of a lot of Nazi ideology and high-level Nazis into the State Department and into the NGO and into the academic world in America to keep all of this going for a hopeful Fourth Reich. And frankly, that is what the EU is, without a doubt in my mind. They've become more and more openly totalitarian. And again, the goal is what? The goal for for the Third Reich was to destroy Russia, take all its natural resources, unify Europe, and run the world through Brussels and Geneva with the City of London as the bank, and frankly, the United States of America to pay for it all with our children's blood and our money. And I believe the United States of America, and I think we could prove it, not only paid for the entire Cold War, a war on a tactic that continually changed, but the United States taxpayers also paid for the entire war on terror, again, a war on a tactic that continually changed, and the entire global warming nonsense that is really about capturing all natural resources into the hands of these same people in Europe. And we paid for all of that to the tune of trillions and trillions of dollars that have gone missing, in my opinion, into the World Bank, into the Reconstruction Bank, and into the IMF and other places that are immune to this day from audit or investigation or legal, any kind of legal anything. The U.S. taxpayer paid for the entire fraudulent Marshall Plan that rebuilt Europe and built the EU and built the Euro. The World Economic Forum was a CIA project out of that Kissinger ran out of Harvard, Kennedy School. So all of it goes together, and it's the same people, and it's the same, handing it off to the next generation of their same ilk.
Now, once people are swept into this system, and many of them are simply born into it, it's families,
yes.
Right?
Right.
I want you to explain how there is internal reinforcement of compliance and obedience to this overall agenda, because a skeptic listening to this might say, well, there's no way all these people would go along with everything. Well, they don't know what you and I know, which is the methods of either internal blackmail, internal compromise, or threats of compromise, the compliance pressures that happen. Like, I think it was a former BIS person that was a few years ago was suddenly accused of, you know, sexual advances against an aide. Probably never happened.
Right.
It's probably just that person didn't go along with the right vote on the right policy. You know what I mean? So there are things like that. But can you just, in general, explain how that works?
Yeah, I mean, especially with these bloodlines involved here, it's generational, and the science that actually came out of Nazi Germany and all of their human experiments was after three generations of a family, it's essentially genetic that they go along the same path. It's this kind of like Yuri Bezmenov, when he came over and did that interview in the 80s with G. Edward Griffin, he said that it would take three generations to completely demoralize and the United States of America, he was talking about at the time, because that's from kindergarten to college of one child's lifetime.
And
that's
kind
of what they... Yes, and that's kind of what they talk about with this grooming in these families, is that after three generations, it's essentially genetic that they just follow the path because that's what they're supposed to do, and they don't even think about that. And the money and the power and all of that is there. The problem is, and this is the saving grace for humanity right now, is while they dumb down especially the Ivy League schools, which I think were always factories of that sort of thing, they also dumb down their own children. They do not have what they had in earlier generations of strategists, of true, you know, game players that can game things out like Kissinger or Brzezinski or the people before that. So I think that they made a lot of mistakes in the rollout of the plandemic. I frankly believe that it was on purpose. And I also trace that to different events they had, like the Transition Integrity Project, Event 201. And frankly, that the CIA, it seems to me, just turned their entire playbook they've used since the 50s completely on the United States in every way, including biological warfare. And I think that we see them now. And this is the first time in history that people can actually see the architecture. And that makes them very dangerous right now, because we never saw them before, particularly the CIA that was operating since George H.W. Bush is very nervous. You know, the 51 intelligence agents that should have already been charged with conspiring to defraud the people of the United States of America before the election of 2020. Every 51 of them should have been charged with major crimes. But what I see now is they're not even hiding that they've been running the operation against Donald Trump, the CIA, since he won in 2016. They have a whole NGO called the Steady State, where they openly say that they turned the whole playbook on our country because of Trump.
This is my concern, is that the fact that they are openly admitting this, and I think it's accurate what you just said, means that they have something much bigger in store, where it doesn't matter that you know what they're trying to do. Let me show you on my screen here. I pulled up, this is just a recent story. GM replaces 1,000 workers with 50 robots.
Yeah,
that's just GM. What do you think is happening at Ford? You know, what's happening at OpenAI, or what is Anthropic rolling out that the government's so spooked about right now? Right.
Right.
The plan clearly is some kind of massive coordinated reset, probably a currency reset, financial reset, but a population reset at the same time. Along the way, they don't want you to have access to natural medicine or knowledge about how to cure cancer. Clearly, they're pushing all the chemicals that cause infertility and birth defects, et cetera. They're still pushing the jabs. They're still pushing the climate lockdown philosophy. So what do you think, Mel, that they have planned? Because clearly it's got to be big.
Yeah. I mean, and also they don't seem afraid, which is very strange. Like watching the guy that runs the CIA, now NGO, the Steady State, on his own podcast, he said that when Donald Trump won 150 CIA agents that did regime change operations with Norm Eisen and all them during the Obama years in Europe, overthrowing multiple countries that were not going along with the plan for global governance, that he wrote a letter, he says, to General Flynn before Trump was even inaugurated, basically saying that the CIA didn't think Donald Trump could be president because he wouldn't follow along with the post-World War II foreign policy that had already been in place, and that he was an existential threat to countries in the EU, particularly Ukraine. I mean, all of this stuff, and, you know, Trump doesn't know about this, but this guy's admitting that, and he said Flynn ignored him, and then Flynn was gone, and he kind of laughs, and then he goes, then I sent it to McMaster, and he didn't get back to us, so we decided we had to do something about it. Well, I believe that something led to the COVID, and frankly, you now look at what Rand Paul and Tulsi Gabbard are putting out. This was what they've been doing all over the world, including all over Africa. Look at them. They're going to Africa to help with women's health. Give me a break. At that event that I'm talking about in 2008, 2009, that was even after Kissinger had already said that the biggest thing was depopulating the third world. But you go back, because all these lunatics are talking about USAID keeping money from starving children. No. USAID was created to exercise soft power in countries that they wanted to control.
Of course.
So it was always international development, i.e. CIA money funding. And you know, people say to me, well, what can we do? And I say three things I would do if I was Donald Trump, because at this point he should just be like, forget it. I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to go full Lincoln. I'm 80 years old. And I'm going to dismantle what I can going forward. I would rescind, because he can, the International Organization Immunity Act of 1945 and let people look into, if they choose to, and I'm talking about nations around the world that have been harmed by these people, look into the IMF and the World Bank, where trillions of dollars of our taxpayer money has disappeared under the fake guise of the green nonsense. Right. Also, you know, let people look into the World Health Organization, the IMF, the UNESCO, where all that money is. And beyond that, I would rescind the 1947 Truman document that created the CIA, the National Security Council, the Department of Defense. They never worked for us, ever. And in 49, they gave themselves full and complete total immunity and the inability for anyone, including the president, to look into the CIA's finances, to look into their operations, to look into what they're doing.
Right.
This is what JFK was talking about. We can do it now, and that's what we should do now.
What's extraordinary about what you just said there, when you talk about USAID and NED, and you're hearing this a lot from the political left right now, sort of whining about, oh, all these children are dying around the world because we didn't get the grant for malaria. Well, you know, you morons, it never went to malaria.
No,
okay?
Never.
That was the cover story. It was money laundering on an international scale. You know, you think it's going to stop malaria and children in Africa. It's actually buying, you know, like anti-air missiles for terrorists in Afghanistan or whatever. You know what I mean? That's always the way it works.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue to work that way, and as long as the system exists. And the problem is, even Elon Musk at one point said, you know, there's 14 magic money computers in the government that just, they wire money all over the place, but they don't need to have any money to do the wire. They create it as they wire it, because wiring is just, it's just an entry. It's just a record.
Yeah.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, normally when you wire, it's supposed to deduct it from the source and then increment it on the destination. But when the government wires money, they just create it out of nothing.
Right.
And as long as that happens, it's going to be corrupted, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, 1,000%. This has got to stop. I mean, we are not a sovereign nation at all. And like I said, the thing that disturbs me the most is knowing that all of these protected organizations, there's 100 of them on U.S. soil that are completely immune to U.S. law enforcement or to any kind of investigation, including the United Nations. So again, the World Bank, the IMF, in Washington, D.C. You can't even, they can't, we have no jurisdiction as the United States, even on their, in their buildings, on their soil, and they're in our country. Wow. And they have been. And like you're saying about the printing of money, this is so key. The idea, and again, the Dulles, this all goes back to the Dulles brothers, Wall Street lawyers. People have to remember these are multinational corporation lawyers that created this international supranational architecture of endless war for profit. And the CIA, like I said, is the international protection racket for that. And so these people that are talking about, I mean, it makes me laugh. Do you know why all the populist rulers are now winning in Latin America? Because USAID isn't interfering in their elections anymore because they don't have the money or the infrastructure. And this is what happened all over Europe. I mean, the EU wouldn't have happened if they didn't control everything. It certainly wouldn't to this point. Right. And the scariest part, and people might not know this, but you got to look into it, audience here. I believe Barack Obama's center in Chicago is one of the tentacles of this and is going to be a real problem in the future. It is no different than the intelligence operations that he has been a part of. As you might know, his father came out of the Kennedy Airlift, which was a CIA operation that took students from Kenya and Uganda to America to train them with the CIA to then be basically the people that would push those countries into the global governance towards the Agenda 2030 model. Well, Mamdani's father was also in that same Kennedy airlift. So, I mean, everything is coming to fruition right now, and it all goes back to those years that we were betrayed between 44 and 54 when the State Department turned with the CIA, USAID, National Endowment for Democracy. And there's a Republican and a Democrat also NGO side to this model, and they all have been working for the global banks since then, in my opinion, since the 50s.
Clearly. Okay, so pop quiz, we're almost out of time. In your opinion, who ordered the killing of JFK?
I would say, in my opinion, I mean, in my heart, I believe that it's this group, but I think it goes more to the Rockefellers than anyone else. Just my opinion.
Okay.
But it's the whole group. It's that whole group that was the BIS at the BIS. So it's everyone that that created the CIA is involved in that, because the CIA was never what we were told. It was always the protection racket for the international banking cartel and endless war for profit model that they've been living under and we've been paying for Absolutely. Now, you know, 70 years.
Okay. Another quick question for you. SpaceX, which just had the stock blow out and then a big correction, you know, of course we warned everybody don't buy overpriced IPOs.
No.
But SpaceX, and I'm not saying it's a Nazi company, but I'm saying that SpaceX uses technology that was, you know, inherited from Operation Paperclip scientists. That's clear. And Elon keeps talking about human settlements on Mars, which makes no sense at all. Mars has no atmosphere or virtually none. What the heck is going on with Elon talking about human colonies on Mars? Any idea? Does that tie into this?
I think it has to somehow, because we can't forget that Elon Musk's grandfather was part of the technocracy movement, which is what Agenda 2030 at the end of the day is. It doesn't need humans. It is all about efficiency. And all he talks about is efficiency. I mean, when he was sitting on the stage with Larry Fink in Davos and he said, well, soon every house in America is going to have a robot and they're going to be able to raise your children and walk your dog and take care of your grandparents. And I'm thinking, then why be human? Like, no, I mean, there's something with him that is very much about like replacing humanity with technology. But I don't think God is going to stand for that. And I think there's a lot in the way. I think a lot of what he says is like, you know, out there, wishful thinking, but humanity has to make a stand. And the way that they're going is full, total track and trace surveillance technocracy run by people not only that are not elected, but that have no oversight, no one above them. So while I think that the more dangerous group are the aligned globalists and the people that are the Fourth Reich people, the people of our country are going to have to start taking a stand for, we don't want technocracy and we don't want technology to replace humanity and what makes humanity worth living. Mm-hmm. And so I just think that they have been allowed to get away with so much, but we, the people of the United States, have to use the Constitution and stand up and realize we are walking eyes wide open into this Agenda 2030. Still, nothing has been done to dismantle this yet. So, and the global public infrastructure is built, and it's built by the same people, including Elon Musk and Larry Ellison and, you know, and Eric Schmidt and Bill and Gates
Peter Thiel.
And all the same people. Yeah. I mean, they built it in China. They built it in the EU. They already, I've been working on it for decades. It is built. So, you know, the United States, you know, Trump would say they're not after me, they're after you. And I keep saying they're not after America, they're after the world. And America is in the way, but we have to start getting in the way because we're not doing that yet.
Okay. Do you have time for one more quick question?
Of course I do.
Oh, well, I didn't, we're up on the hour here, and I normally don't keep guests late.
Oh, yeah. I actually have to, I have 2 minutes for you.
Okay, 2 minutes. Rob said. You can answer this in less than 1 minute. Then what's the deal with the extraterrestrial narrative that's being pushed now? Is this some kind of weird distraction to keep us on track with their plan? What's going on?
I don't think it's real at all. I think that people are going to be very disappointed, but I do think trillions and trillions of dollars have disappeared under the guise of NASA and working on this. And that is going to be the bigger story, I believe, in the release, is that all of this money has been going to something that's not real and doesn't exist and can't.
So the aliens ate my homework.
Exactly.
It's like, where'd the money
ready.
Go? The aliens took it.
Exactly.
That's what happened. It's all gone. Okay. Mel, it's been a pleasure having you on. Let me give out your website one more time. TheMelKShow.com. And the new book is called Infiltration Instead of Invasion. America Betrayed, 1944 to 1954. So thank you for joining us today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate you and everything you do.
Oh, you as well. Okay, we'll see you. Take care. All right, thank you all for watching. Mike Adams here, brightvideos.com. And you'll find this on other platforms as well, including Rumble, etc. And you can repost this interview. And check out Mel Kay's website that I just gave out there, themelkshow.com, and check out her book. And thanks for watching today. Take care, everybody.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.